Before we get started, before any of this starts, I'd like to remind you that you can experience an ad-free version of this by clicking the link in the description that says plus.acast.com/s/radiofreecatholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Exsurgat Deus dissipentur inimici eius, et fugi ancio derunt eum a face eius. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate him flee from before his face. I'm recording this well in advance. As I record this, this is actually the evening, the Monday evening after Easter. And so, belatedly, happy Easter. Viva Cristo Rey. He is risen. In truth, he is risen. The point of this podcast, and it's actually, I'm going to schedule it to drop on April 7th. So hopefully, you'll have at least that whole Monday, and then Tuesday, to actually kind of regard it. It is often said that Americans have this sort of self-centered view of the Book of Revelation and of sacred scripture. And to be true, this is absolutely true, particularly among evangelical Protestants. They actually seem to think that we're going to be somehow centrally instrumental to the apocalypse as described by St. John. And while I don't subscribe to that, I do subscribe to the idea that we are about to go through an apocalypse, our country, because we have, for the last 120-ish years, been massive exporters of everything that is against the one true faith. And it has been ever increasing from, you know, roughly the Spanish-American War all the way up through to today. And it became very, very clear, actually, as this last week, on Good Friday, when the White House decided that it was going to announce that on Easter Sunday it was going to be Trans Day of Visibility and other such nonsense. And apparently there are over 50 days in the calendar that the White House is promulgating as far as some form of activism for the LGBTQIA2 plus whatever thingy agenda thing. So I figured I would record this and make a couple of predictions. Before we get started, this is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangele, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitiam et insidias, diaboli est opraesidium. Imperatili Deus supplices deprecamur, tuque princeps militae calestis satana maliosque spiritus malignosque ad perditionem animarum, per regantur in mundo divina virtute, in infernum netrude. Amen. Cor Iesus sacratissimum, miserere nobis, mater dolorosa, ora pro nobis. Sancti Joseph, ora pro nobis. Domine, ostende facem tuum et salve erimus, Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio Est. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So, by now, particularly if you're in the United States of America, then you would have heard that there is going to be an eclipse in right about 1 week's time. And that's kind of important to note. And mind you, it's 1 week's time as I record this. It'll be April 8th, roughly midday to 3 p.m., depending on the time zone. And this is yet another thing that is actually rather important. Roughly 3 p.m. is going to be the end of the eclipse. Why is this important? Now, I'm going to make a few predictions, and they're going to be kind of either or. Either this is going to happen or that is going to happen. Because there is one thing that I am absolutely certain of. We cannot continue to do the things that we are doing as a country and expect God to leave us be. It is my concerted belief that our continual sort of meager half-stepping when it comes to defending the faith, when it comes to making sure that our children know the faith, when it comes to making sure that Catholics understand the difference between what is promulgated about the Catholic Church by the enemies of Holy Mother Church and what is actually the truth, our inaction has led to this point. Now, Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen did everything that he could within the confines of where he was. But his messages, though kind of heavily Americanist, were still very, very Catholic. Now, there were some things that were very America-focused, America-centric, and that is to be expected. Of course, he's not an archbishop in Italy. He's not an archbishop in Brazil. He's an archbishop in these United States. So, of course, it's going to be centered very largely on America. And yes, modernism, as we understand it in the church, which is another word for liberalism or Freemasonic influences or whatever, you can take your... I don't even care what you call it. But this thing that puts America all the way up at the center, like we're the cat's meow, has infiltrated the church. Even so far, and I just really want to take a quick side note, even so far as to point out that Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, in an interview with Tucker Carlson, basically said that it's the United States of America, it is our nation's job to lead the world in freedom. Now, I'm going to be blunt. Christ the King leads us in freedom. Some so-called republic or so-called democracy, an institution of man described by Ronald Reagan blasphemously as the shining city on the hill, has become a burning mountain. And it's because of that that we cannot turn away from our responsibility as Americans, as Catholics, and we must redouble our efforts. One of the things that I've been trying to do, it's a little bit new, actually doing a 9-month novena, I've never heard of such a thing, but one of the things I'm trying to do is actually conform myself to Cardinal Raymond Leo Burke's 9-month novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe, Empress of the Americas. Why? Because it is my concerted belief that 2024 is our last chance to get ourselves right so that our country doesn't fall into the abyss. And I do believe that it's been by God's grace that he's even allowed us this long to try and figure it out. So let me go ahead and make some predictions. And they are predictions based on astronomy. Yes, this is actually a thing within the history of the church. Next Tuesday, as I record this, next Tuesday on April 8th, there will be an eclipse. A total eclipse of the sun that stretches from the small little village of Jonah through seven cities of Nineveh of varying size in these United States. Now, is it important that it also goes to Canada? Yes. With the eighth city of Nineveh, yes, it is actually important. However, it is my concerted belief that this eclipse, combined with the one from 2017, because, mind you, 2017 to 2024, how long is that? Yeah, 7 years. 7 years. 7 years, seven cities called Nineveh, starting from a place, I think, in Mexico called San Gabriel, headed through the village of Jonah, and passing through seven cities, townships, or whatever, called Nineveh in these United States. By the way, for those of you who are like, oh, well, there's got to be lots of places that are called Nineveh. No, actually, surprisingly, there are seven. There are seven cities named Nineveh in these, or seven towns named Nineveh in these United States. And the solar eclipse is going to pass through all seven. I was surprised by this. I had to Google it. I was like, well, how many towns are named Nineveh? Turns out, seven. So the eclipse is going to start in the town of Jonah and work its way through seven towns called Nineveh. All seven towns called Nineveh, which are in a remarkably mostly straight line diagonally across these United States. Weird. What does that tell me? That tells me that this actually was probably an event that was going to happen a long time ago. This is the sort of thing that God puts in place over time so that when the message comes, it is unmistakable. You see, it's not uncommon to name places after the old world. You can go to Cairo in Egypt, or you can go to Cairo in like six towns in the Midwest. There's a town called Peru. There are towns named after all sorts of stuff. I mean, we've got how many towns named Memphis? At least two. I've driven through two. One of them, the city of Memphis, and then another one that was actually just a town in the Midwest. These are not things that are terribly out of the ordinary when you think about it, except in this case. In this case, there was some kind of thing that was going to happen in America that God planned for that we could have avoided. And clearly we did not. And so here we are on April 8th, 7 months in advance of the election. An election that is going to take place on November the 5th. Now, to all of my Catholic brethren out there, now actually, to all of both my Catholic and my Protestant brethren, and even the people who don't believe, who have at least seen the movie V for Vendetta or read the comic book, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason the gunpowder, treason should ever be forgot. Why? Because depending on your perspective, Guy Fawkes was a revolutionary trying to overthrow the crown. Now, it's funny that if you look at the time, there was actually a papal bull. Now, I don't know if they're roughly at the same time period, and I could be mistaken, but I do know that there was a pope who did issue an edict commanding Catholics in England to work toward the overthrow of the crown. Did you not know that? Did you not know that that was actually connected to why on the 5th of November, Protestants, British Protestants, burned the effigy of the Pope? So now it's possible that Guy Fawkes was following the Pope and actually doing what he was supposed to do as a Catholic in that case, to attempt to overthrow the British crown and establish and make sure that a Catholic king gets installed. It is possible. Admittedly, I haven't done a whole lot of research on the subject to see where the intersecting lines are. I merely know three separate facts. One, that the gunpowder treason and plot was most definitely not what they say it was. Two, the guy Fox might have actually been a patsy. Don't know for sure, but I do know that that supposition has been made. And third, even if he wasn't a patsy, you have the issue of the Pope issuing an edict for the overthrow of the British crown to remove Elizabeth. Now, again, I don't know if these things are all co-mingled, co-related, because I never actually, like, these, literally I'm speaking off the cuff right now, and I haven't actually done enough research in this manner. But I do know that it's not an accident that in 2024, 7 months after a total eclipse, from the town of Jonah through seven villages of Nineveh, the only seven towns called Nineveh in these United States, it is not an accident that 7 months from there, on the 5th of November, the anniversary of the gunpowder treason, is our election day. What does this mean? It can mean a few things. This indicates to me that the results of this upcoming election will probably be announced on that Friday, the 8th of November. Now, I don't know this for sure, and I can't tell the future, but I know that if I were God, I might actually manage to move all of the mechanisms in this way. Now, does it mean that Joe Biden's going to get reelected? Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, we're only 7 months away from the election, and so it's distinctively possible that he will survive to the election. It is also not impossible that he might actually just drop dead from a stroke or something before the election happens. Do I know for certain? No, I can't tell the future. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who happens to notice really weird things that coincide. And in this particular case, I don't believe that it's an accident that less than a month ago, a mere 3 weeks ago, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke announced a 9-month novena to be concluded on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe this December. I don't think it's an accident that he makes heavy reference, obviously it's Our Lady of Guadalupe, he makes heavy references to Tepeyac. I don't think it's an accident that the mission of divine mercy, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, whether you think they should be giving out messages or you believe the messages or not, I don't think it's an accident that included, woven in those messages, is Our Lady and Our Lord referring to that mission in Texas as the new Tepeyac. I don't think these things are accidents. Are they providence? I don't know. But if I were a betting man, I would bet, in line with something that I heard in a podcast over this past weekend, and somebody actually talking about, because he was, I forgot who the guy was. I'd never actually seen him before, but he did a fantastic interview with an exorcist, one of the more famous exorcists, who also happened to be a priest I'd never actually heard of, but was a very, very sharp guy. And that priest actually said this. Whether or not you believe Medjugorje, whether or not you believe Garabandal, whether or not you believe any of these things, it is of interest to note that from 1531 to today, the messages coming from Our Lady were used to be actually, I think, the ones that came up were about every 30 to 50 years, because you had 1531 with San Juan Diego on Tepeyac. You had, I think it was the 1580s, Our Lady of Buen Suceso. You had in the 1600s, I think it was 1600s. I think it was La Salette. Yes. In the 1600s was La Salette. In the 1700s, you had a... I don't remember which ones off the top of my head. I really wish I did. But in the 1700s, you had a couple. In the 1800s, you had, I think, two or three. In the 1900s, you had... Let's see. You had Fatima, Garabandal, Akita, Quebejo, and Medjugorje. Now, whether... And mind you, I'm not talking... Dear family, I'm not talking about validity here. I'm simply talking about instances. Okay? Because I don't... The messages that are coming out of Medjugorje now seem to me to be milquetoast, pray the rosary, go to confession, receive Holy Communion. And I say milquetoast in the... These are kind of obviously very Catholic messages. Okay? There was also actually another apparition in... what's the town? It was in Egypt. Khartoum? Khartoum? I don't remember. But it was a very visible apparition above an Orthodox church. Like caught on camera. Visible. It seemed to be ever increasing in rhythm, particularly when you got into the 1900s. It started off slow. Obviously, I don't know of anything from 1900 to 1917, but 1917 apparitions, at least with Sister Lucia, up to the 1930s. In the 1950s, you had the apparitions of Our Lady of America in Ohio. In the 1960s was Garabandal. In the 1980s was Our Lady of Quebejo and Our Lady of Khartoum and Our Lady in Egypt. Late 80s, you had Our Lady of Quebejo, into that stretching into the 90s. Simultaneously, actually co-mingled with that, let me back up. 70s, you had Our Lady of Akita. 80s, like I said, 90s, like I said. And it seemed to be ever increasing in intensity, in frequency and intensity, all the way up into what we understand as the 21st century. And aside from the fact that it seems like everything has since gone silent, the more I look around, the more I realize, no, that is actually not the case. Unlike any time in history before, when you look at, there are apparition sites that the church has not spoken on because they haven't done the investigation yet. And there's dozens of them. I think there were only of the 200 some odd that I saw on the list, there were only about a dozen of those that were absolutely like, no, this is definitely not the case. This is something else entirely. And one of them has actually said, it's in Italy. One of them has recently, it started out as... the church said, no, definitely not, and has since, at least at a minimum, rescinded the definitely not. And it seems like the local archbishop or the local bishop is like, okay, yeah, there's something to this. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're not familiar with the way war drums are beat, they start out first, slow at first. And then as you get closer to the moment, as you approach the moment of attack, the moment of battle, the beat actually gets faster and faster and faster. And this is what it appears to be in the case of Marian apparitions. Now, I can tell you, I don't know about most of them. I'm looking for particular signs about Garabandal. And I'm not entirely sure I even want to get dipped into Medjugorje, because most of the things that managed to reach me from Medjugorje, as far as the messages that were coming out of there, are things that were already said by Our Lady of Fatima. And there were things that were already said by Our Lady of Akita. And there were things that were already said in Garabandal. And there were things that were already said, I mean, starting all the way in the 11th or 12th century, when Our Lady gave the rosary to Saint Dominic, It's been kind of the same. And the ones that don't follow that line, I'm like, okay, cool. That didn't follow that line. That makes life easy. I'm not going to pay a lot of attention to it. But a couple of years ago, I was paying attention to all of these things very deeply, trying to parse them through. And I do actually have a book, a very good book by Xavier Reyes Herral, called Revelations, which does a much better job. I actually had a book. It was a compendium of Marian apparitions. And I got to be perfectly honest with you, what was in that compendium was, and it seemed like it was a little bit better sanctioned by the church, and it just wasn't really there. A lot of questions with that book. And I got to be honest with you, I look at it and I go, meh, whatever. I've dipped into Xavier's book. I've read about specific apparitions because there were particular messages that were of note that were kind of like, hey, this is kind of like, kind of parsing all of this out. I am a serious believer and a supporter of the messages that came to Marie-Julie Jehenny, the Breton stigmatist and mystical visionary. I've actually spoken about the 3 days of darkness and what I think is actually going on. And I do have a significantly different interpretation. But there are a few things I don't have a significantly different interpretation. Our Lady said to Bruno Cornacchiola on April 12, 1947, that the restraint that the catacomb has been released. She didn't say catacomb because Bruno Cornacchiola would not have actually understood that. But she did say that Satan has been loosed. Now, that indicates to me that 1947 was probably the beginning. And Our Lady came back and confirmed the messages on April 12th, several times, in Italy, in Rome, at Trefontaine, in the 80s. I desperately wish I could get my hands on the videotape from the Italian news on the miracle of the sun that happened on April 12th in 1986 because it was caught on tape. Somebody has that in their archives. But when I take the sum total of all of the messages and then I look at what America is doing, and here's the thing, America has actually had some interestingly different apparitions. In 1958, Our Lady appeared to Sister Mildred, Sister Mildred, whose religious name was Sister Mary Ephraim. And the message that she gave to Sister Mary Ephraim over the course of time is a message of purity, specifically virginal purity. Modesty of dress, purity in behavior, chastity, modesty in speech, the whole gamut. Everything that the average American is most definitely not in this day. And there's a consecration prayer to Our Lady in there, in those messages. And for those who doubt, well, let me be blunt. The messages, there is actually a thing that comes along with Marian apparitions as far as the church is concerned. So, Our Lady of Fatima had messages specifically for Sister Lucia, for Francisco and Jacinta. Messages specifically for the bishop, and messages for the Universal Church. Excuse me. And the message that was promulgated for the Universal Church was promulgated by the bishop in an official episcopal decree. Proliferate this and proliferate this under my authority as bishop to the whole church. What did he send out? The five first Saturday devotion, the daily prayer of the Holy Rosary, the enrollment in the Brown Scapular, and all of those accompanying obligations. Now, here's the thing. You cannot deny that the event happened. And it doesn't have to, and we're not talking about a faithful denial. There are records. So if you deny that the miracle of the sun happened, and I can understand if you've never read the records, never seen the pictures and all of that, I can understand. Well, I've never heard of this thing. Okay, that's understandable. But once you've read the newspaper articles, once you've seen the government records in Portugal, once you've seen the photographs, once you've read the testimony, heard the testimony preached, or whatever, at that point, you can now no longer deny that a miracle happened on October 13th at noon in 1917 in the town of Fatima, in the Cote I don't remember the name of the but just outside of the town of Orem. You cannot deny that this happened. Because if you deny that the miracle of the sun happened, well, you may as well just deny your own birth certificate. Because there is far more evidence that this event happened than the evidence of your existence on this earth. Actually, in this day and age with digital records and all that, that may not be true. You may as well deny that your grandparents were born. Because I can guarantee that at the time of their birth, there are fewer birth records. There are fewer birth records, baptismal records, confirmation, first communion, whatever. There are fewer records about your grandparents' birth than there are about the miracle of the sun. So you cannot deny that the miracle happened. Unless you want to deny the Declaration of Independence, and you want to deny that George Washington was the first president of the United States, and you want to deny whether or not, well, actually, you might want to deny whether or not your teenage kids have their driver's license. There are more records about that one event than ever before. Why do traditional Catholics keep anchoring on that one? Because no sane person can deny that a thing happened. You cannot deny that these things happened. Now, you may not be able to read Portuguese. Got it. And you may not be able, let's be real. You can allow your illiteracy to be like, well, I can't read what that says. I don't understand, and blah, blah, blah. So, but you can see the pictures. You can see the tens of thousands of people. The conservative estimates, the estimates by the Freemasonic newspaper, was 50,000. The liberal estimates, the estimates by members of the church, are 100,000. The average estimate from historians is roughly 70,000. 70,000 witnesses in a 33-mile radius. 70,000 people in a 33-mile radius saw that. So you can't deny that the event happened. Now, as a Catholic, you run into a further problem. The five first Saturday devotion and the daily recitation of the rosary and enrollment in the Brown Scapular, Brown Scapular, were promulgated by the bishop. These were handed out by the bishop, with the full ecclesial authority thereof. Not just to the citizenry in his diocese, not just to Portuguese people, not just to the peninsula of Iberia, but to the universal church. And, well, you know, whatever, he's still not my bishop. Okay, problem. Because then you have repeated pontiffs. The Bishop of Rome, the Vicar of Christ, Pontifex Maximus. You have popes who have issued decrees regarding these things. You have popes who have spoken that these messages are for the universal church. You want me to list a few? I'll just list two. Benedict, John Paul II. Oh, you need more? Okay. Pius XII. Pius XI. Benedict XV. This has been deemed by good as good for the whole church as a thing that the whole church, every Catholic, should be doing. Enroll in the brown scapular, pray the rosary every day, execute the five first Saturday devotion. I pray God will permit me to actually make it through five consecutive Saturdays. I started at the beginning of the year, and it got broken last month. And I'm still salty about it. But if at first you don't succeed, well, let's do it again. One of the things I tell my guys at work is that effort does not equal victory. Only victory equals victory. So I can put my effort in, and God will, of course, you know, understand, hey, I'm doing everything I can. But doing it is what, actually getting the job done is what's important. And there are other people who talk about the Five First Saturday devotion. I may actually talk about it near the end of this podcast. Now, conveniently fun fact. There are 7 months between now and Election Day. If you're a Catholic in these United States, it probably wouldn't go amiss if you went ahead and enrolled in the brown scapular and attended the Five First Saturdays and started praying in the rosary every day. And actually do what Our Lady asks. Because here's the thing. We have a message, and you can question the veracity of it. I lean towards probably a bad idea to question the veracity. But you have a message saying, this is the final hour. Now, this is the final hour. This actual message actually came out for, appears to be, that it came out for the whole church, which is a completely different thing entirely. But this came out of Texas. Unless I'm mistaken, and I could be, because I don't know exactly where this mission is, but I could be mistaken, but I think the eclipse is actually going to start somewhere near this monastery and then strike its way diagonally across the country. You have Cardinal Burke putting out a 9-month novena. We have an election this year. Right now, the two parties, on the one side, you have an unbeliever who is at least willing to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who at least understands that Easter is not a trans day of visibility. It is, in fact, the day of the resurrection of the Lord. And on the other side, you have a supposed Catholic who is quite clearly, by all of his actions, an apostate from the church. Now, the messages at Fatima in Akita. Actually, let me backtrack. Let's focus on Our Lady of Cabejo. Because in my parish, there is a particular devotion to Our Lady of Cabejo. Which is weird, because we're about as far away from Cabejo as you can be. But the message that was given to the visionaries in Africa started with, y'all need to pray the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. You need to repent. You need to do these things, and you need to do them now. Because something wicked this way comes to Uganda. And I'm not reading this verbatim. I'm actually pulling this out of memory. So some of this, I'm using my own words here. But because point blank, but she says point blank, this thing is about to pop off here in Uganda. And if the world doesn't repent, it's going to pop off everywhere. After it popped off in Uganda, the message was now no longer just for Uganda. Or, excuse me, Rwanda. I'm sorry. It's the Rwanda genocide, not Uganda. After this pops off, it's not just about Rwanda. It became about the whole world. So, there are a few things here. This, the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows is a little bit different from the Rosary. In fact, it's actually very akin to the Franciscan Crown Rosary as they pray during Lent. Now, I have a devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, and so this is actually one of my preferred methodologies when it comes to praying, because there's something about it, it resonates with me very much. It's not a consolation, but I could almost describe it as kind of a vibration. You know, that sort of vibration when you hit a perfect note and it just sounds beautiful? It's kind of like that. I wish spoken language was a little bit better. I don't know how to, it resonates with me more. I'll just leave it at that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Our Lady of Cabejo said, when it's done, when this thing is done here, if men continue to sin, what happened here will happen around the world. So let me illustrate what actually happened in Uganda, in Rwanda. You had two conflicting tribes. And after malice was spat at in each other's direction, what ended up happening was the tribe that was Christian got slaughtered. And the civil war that popped off was horrifying in ways that you can only imagine, and even then you can only imagine them poorly. Imagine people going house to house in their own neighborhoods against their own neighbors and chopping them up with machetes. Imagine going to your neighbor, your next door neighbor. Now, maybe you've known them your whole life, or maybe you've just met them. Maybe you live in a city and you don't hardly know anybody. But imagine your next-door neighbor knocks on your house, kicks your door in, and starts chopping your family up, rapes your wife, your daughter, etc., and then murders them, and then burns their bodies in the streets. Now, why is this important? Why am I bringing this particular thing up? Particularly in the Easter season. I mean, our Lord is risen. I'm bringing this up because we've been talking about civil war in the United States for a while. And people seem to, like, for some reason, we can't wrap our brain around something other than what happened in 1860. In 1860, it was two armies, and it was gathered up from the volunteers from all the various states, and they went at it toe-to-toe, neck to neck, just went at it, right? Okay, that's fine. You had federal troops, and then you had volunteer troops. The whole reason why the Confederacy, their uniforms were gray, was because they were all volunteers. And it was the pattern at the time that volunteers, National Guardsmen as you would call them, would wear gray, and then federal troops, the full-time troops for the most part, would wear blue. And it does cross over back and forth, but typically the Confederate troops wore gray because they were National Guard. And the Union troops wore blue because they were federal troops. Not state troops. Federal troops. They weren't just volunteers, they were federal troops. And that's the reason for the two different colors. But it's not to say that those two different colors weren't present on both sides, because in the North, they had guardsmen who wore gray as well. And in the South, they had federal troops who wore blue. But one thing is for certain, they did stand army to army and on the battlefields, and they actually shot at each other, which is very, very different than what they do now. Now you end up in a civil war, it looks more like Haiti. Now you end up in a civil war. I mean, there's going to be some shooting because Americans do have more guns than any other country. There's going to be some shooting. But there's going to be brutality at a level that you've never seen before. And it's already starting. We've seen it begin. You see these videos on social media where people are walking around and just clocking the daylights out of people. Where all of a sudden somebody finds themselves surrounded by a group of the other guys. Typically, what they call in social media cultural enrichers against, you know, just normal people. Who get the ever-loving snot kicked out of them and get sent to the ICU. But we did also see it happen with a bunch of Antifa activists who assaulted and fired on a federal compound of Customs and Border Patrol. We've also had federal officers, particularly the FBI, conduct raids. Dear family, you have to understand that these things are escalating. They are going to come to a head, and people are going to die. And in some places, it's literally going to be bodies in the streets. And some other places are going to be largely untouched. But if we do not turn away from our transgressions, if we do not repent and turn back to Christ, if we do not cover ourselves in the mantle of Our Lady, what is going to happen, and it will spare neither the good nor the bad. All of the messages actually say this the same. It will not spare good people. It will not spare priests. It will not spare laity. It will not spare anyone. This is going to be worse than the Christiada. This is going to be worse than the Spanish Civil War. This is going to be worse than the Second World War. Worse than the First World War. Significantly worse. This is going to be worse than Vietnam. Although for anybody who is still alive from there, it's going to look a lot like Vietnam. Except it'll be Vietnam in America. In concrete jungles instead of the jungle. It's going to get ugly. If we don't repent. If we don't turn away. If we don't beg for the intercession of our Lord and our Lady. It's going to get bad. I have not been talking about... you may have noticed this, but in my podcasts, over the course of the last year and a half, I have been doing everything that I can to zoom out and get away from the specifics of American politics, besides actually just sort of mentioning them in passing. I've been trying to zoom out and get away from diving too much into what was going on in Ukraine and Russia, although, admittedly, I wanted to see what was going on there in detail. If you noticed, I haven't spent a lot of time talking about Israel and Palestine. I haven't spent a lot of time talking about the IDF and Hamas. I haven't been spending a lot of time talking about that, except to say that the only people who are actually getting ground in that grinder, in that meat grinder of a war, is not really the Palestinians, not the Palestinian Muslims, because they're fighting. And it's not really the IDF, because they're fighting. And they're both fighting dirty. The people who are actually getting ground up in that conflict are Christians. Those are the ones who are being put through the meat grinder. Everybody else is a willing participant, but the Palestinian Christians are not. Likewise, with the eradication of Armenia, and I'm still absolutely astonished that nobody understands that Armenia is gone. The oldest Christian civilization in the world is gone. That actually bothers me a lot. And you can look it up. It was over the last few years, they just sort of slowly got erased. I mean, it wasn't really slowly for them. They actually went through all sorts of hardship. But the best I can tell now is that the majority of Armenians are now in Armenian diaspora. Because Azerbaijan actually pretty much controls everything. Armenia is gone. The first Christian kingdom is gone. Reflect on that. That happened this year. Which is actually perfectly in line with the messages. Whole nations will be destroyed. Whole nation, actually, I believe what she said was annihilated. Brought to nothing. She may as well have said obliviated. Because the only people who were remembering that Armenia was even a thing were the Azerbaijani, the Iranians, and the Russians. And the Turks. Everybody else? What Armenia? Now, I don't believe, I have to say this, I don't believe that America is at the center of the apocalypse of St. John. I don't. Except as the apocalypse of St. John applies in general to Christianity. Because I got to be perfectly honest with you, if we go through the apocalypse, the way it's listed in St. John's apocalypse, if we go through those chastisements, does it actually matter that we're not at the center of the world? Three quarters of the population annihilated? A remnant of America remaining? You think we're going to have a chance to break apart? Dear family, I don't think anything's going to be left. We have promulgated, actively and passively, Freemasonry around the world. The World Economic Forum is there in large part because of these United States. The United Nations, doing everything that they're doing, is there because of us. The World Health Organization has been acting the fool with COVID and everything. Why? Because we paid for it. Everything that's about to happen in the upcoming few years are our chickens coming home to roost. Facebook, Twitter, Google, Apple, when all of those things have finally turned against us, when the social media giants and the government and the banks and the Federal Reserve and the International Monetary Fund and all of these people finally turn and say, okay, cool, now we're going to do everything we can to subjugate these United States, to put the people in the United States of America at the worst possible place that they can be. Which, by the way, if you don't see that already happening, I don't know what I can tell you, because you've got to be clearly blind as a bat with more money than the dreams of avarice. Because it's pretty much the only way that you don't notice that things are going to hell in a handbasket. Because anybody who's making less than $200,000 a year feels what's going on right now. A new car finances at monthly payment levels that are equivalent to or greater than house payments. Rent is out of control. Food is nuts. Gas has at least been stable enough, but is still three times more than it was 4 years ago. I mean, think about that. Gas prices right now are right about three times more than what they were 4 years ago. Because inflation doesn't just do like 4% a year and, okay, well, this is 4%. No, you do your benchmark of when you were doing well to when you're not doing so well, or when you weren't doing so well to when you are doing well. So the benchmark from when everything seemed to be perfectly fine is gas was about $1.20 in most of the country. People were making more money than they could shake a stick at. Prices were still very low. Milk was reasonable. Gas was reasonable. Eggs were reasonable. Bread was reasonable. Today, yeah, maybe not so much. And the only people, like legitimately, the only people who aren't feeling the pinch are well into the six-digit salaries. Well into the six-digit salaries. Generals in these United States. Senators. Stockbrokers. They're probably thinking everything's doing okay. But even they can still look around. And I say stockbrokers in particular because I know a lot of stockbrokers, particularly in and around New York City. And I know even they can look down at the streets and go, this is maybe not so hot. Can't take the subway to work anymore. They deployed the National Guard. They deployed the National Guard. Do you understand? I saw a short video of what was going on at the subway stations. It's worse than the TSA in airports. TikTok influencers are getting the crap kicked out of them on the streets. Why? Who knows? Because they're recognized on TikTok and, hey, I'm going to go ahead and punch this heifer in the head. Who knows? I have no idea. You know, I remember when the knockout game was popular in big cities, particularly actually Chicago. I'd pick some random person and hit him in the head with it and swing the 2x4 as hard as they can and knock somebody completely unconscious and put him in the hospital. And it was a game back then. But now you can look around and you can tell it's not a game anymore. Back then, they did it because they thought it was funny. I mean, it was sick, but they thought it was funny. Today, whew, it's hatred. So you can look at the things that are going on in the world and ignore. I mean, I got to be perfectly honest with you. Our ancestors, because I know that's definitely not the tack I'm going to take. I'm not ignoring any of this. Our ancestors in the faith are going to look at you and say, how could you be so stupid? God almost went to the point where he was going to literally write in the skies, repent, for I am coming. And depending on how you look at the things that are about to happen in the next week, that might already be what he's done. See, I'm really big on the sign of Jonah that Christ was talking about. I'm really big on it being Nineveh's conversion. See, our Lord sent prophets out to preach many times. Many times. This isn't a new thing, going out to preach and preach for repentance. But with Jonah, Jonah sticks out in my mind because I don't recall too many. I don't recall that many times when the king rips his clothes and proclaims fasting and penance for 40 days. And keep in mind, it is generally understood that when Jonah entered into the city and he said 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, his word was accompanied by a total solar eclipse. Well, here we are today, and our Lord's not coming out and saying, hey, actually, he is. That's actually the worst part about it. He is coming out and saying, hey, the time of repentance is now or never. He's literally coming out and saying that. He's been coming out, he sent the Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother, his blessed mother, ahead of him. And the message for the last century has been, repent because you're running out of time. And this year, we now actually have a message, and again, you can question the veracity of it, but I got to be honest with you, if you're looking at what is being said in these messages, and you look out at the church and at the world, and you don't see, like, some bit of parallel, because I got to be perfectly honest with you, I would argue that my biggest bone of contention with the mission of divine mercy is not whether or not the messages come from heaven. My biggest bone of contention is that the messages that are coming out of the mission for divine mercy, you don't have to be a messenger from heaven to know this. So if you've never actually heard the messages, I would highly recommend that you dip in and you go to read it and go to listen, go to their YouTube channel or whatever. Check the coverage. Listen to the messages. Read the messages. And then tell me that you actually needed to be some kind of divine oracle to see these things. Because the messages, as they were relayed, that I saw, that I read, that I looked at and reviewed multiple times, they didn't indicate to me anything I didn't know. They didn't tell me anything that I didn't already see. They did put kind of an exclamation point on the timeline, particularly with the message to the bishops that said, this is the final hour. It's get in where you fit in or get out and stay out. But I got to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't need them to tell me that. You can go back in this podcast archive. Just go back to the oldest podcasts that are talking about prophecy, talking about the things going on in the world, and tell me how much time did I say we had? I'll save you the trouble if you want me to. Spoiler alert. I said 2025 was it. But it's a wrap. From 2025 to 2029, we're boned. You could actually argue the reason why I believe the messages from the mission of divine mercy is because it was what I already calculated out myself. Because I looked at what was going on in the world, I looked at what was going on in the church, I looked at what was going on in America, and these are the things, like, I gotta be perfectly honest, any intelligence operative could tell you the same thing. Oh, by the way, if you actually doubt that, I can point you in the direction of Andrew Bustamante, who is an intelligence operative. And he says the same thing. You could argue that the message coming out of the mission for divine mercy isn't supernatural. Some of it appears to be. Some of it's definitely out of the purview from someone like me who's looking out at the world and analyzing it. But the confirmation is the fact that I look out at the world, I analyze it, and according to these messages, whether you believe they're from heaven or not, the fact is they're not saying anything I'm not. When it comes to the direness of the situation, they're not saying anything that I haven't already said. They're not saying anything that Dr. Marshall hasn't said. They're not saying anything that Dr. Anthony Stein hasn't said. Now maybe they all might not be leaning in the same way that John Henry Weston is, and LifeSite News. They may not have that same lean in. Some people are a little bit more reserved about it. The reason why I'm behind, why I talk about these messages in particular, is because all this is a punctuation mark on everything I've already said. Because it doesn't, because you don't have to be a weatherman to tell that there's a storm coming. So the prediction. Lots of people are going to look at the eclipse. And short of some weird things happening, and it's possible there are some weird things that'll happen. Who knows? You know what I think would be really awesome? I don't know necessarily that it would happen, but what I think would be really awesome is when this eclipse popped off. If when we got to 3 o'clock, we stayed at 3 o'clock for 10 hours. Not with, like, the clocks are going to stop, but if the sun and the moon stopped in their position for 10 hours or 20 hours, or a week, could happen. Not outside the realm of, I got to be perfectly honest with you, something like that would wake everybody up immediately. You would know that this, like, you would immediately know. But I also know that that's kind of not how God works so much anymore. Blessed are they who don't see and yet still believe. That's what he said in the gospel. After his resurrection, on roughly the same day, because remember he visited the apostles, and according to the gospels, I think it was about another week before Saint Thomas actually got a chance to put his fingers in the wounds and put his hand in the wound put his fingers in the wounds in his hands and to put his hand in the wound at his side. If I remember correctly, I feel like it was another week before he was before St. Thomas was able to do that. Well, this week is Easter. Next week is a solar eclipse. In line with St. Thomas, blessed are they who don't see and yet still believe. That would make sense. But I also am inclined to say that if our Lord thought it was serious enough, he would just stop the sun in the sky for all of us to see. Just stop everything. For the sake of souls, that's what I pray. I pray something like that is actually what happens. Conveniently, actually, I live in an area I'm not even going to see the sun. Like, I'm not going to see the eclipse. But if the sun stopped in the sky and just kind of drew that black line across the earth and just kept it there, it maybe more remarkably actually drew that other black line across the earth. Because as I understand it, at the intersection of those two total solar eclipses, if I remember correctly, at that intersection, there's this town called Palestine. Could be mistaken, but if I remember correctly, somewhere near that intersection is a town called Palestine. Not East Palestine, actually Palestine. But yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice to have another miracle. Something for everybody to see, something that nobody could discount, something that everybody would look and go, oh, Houston, we have a problem. Oh, this is not normal. Oh, that is actually kind of patently impossible, and now we have to come up with another explanation. For the sake of souls in these United States, oh, God, please send something like that. Let us not be so hard-hearted, so stiff-necked, that we ignore something like that. Anyway. Eclipse, 7 months, election. Election on the 5th of November, the anniversary of the gunpowder, of the remembrance of the gunpowder treason, Guy Fawkes Day, as it were. Guy Fawkes, if you did in fact make it into heaven, pray for us. I do believe that the official announcement for the election will come out that Friday, which will be November 8th, and that'll be 7 months to the day. And then we'll know for sure. We'll know for sure if the wrath of God really is going to be upon us. Because if it's not, we maybe get 4 years of chaos with the Orange Man. But if it is, this half-dead apostate corpse gets reelected. Or one of his, whatever, successors, or however you want to put that. Either or, like I said, it's going to be either this or that. Either we get an extension, or we're screwed. That's it. If you're Catholic and you're not enrolled in the Brown Scapular, enroll in the Brown Scapular. If you're Catholic and you've never heard the messages of Fatima, go read, go listen to the messages of Fatima. You can find them on YouTube. There's some excellent ones with Sensus Fidelium. He's got at least two full conferences. Steve Cunningham does on his channel. Two full conferences of the Lessons of Fatima. One that includes the story of Bruno Cornicchiola, and one that's actually just a shorter five-day retreat, I think. Enroll in the Brown Scapular. Start doing the first Saturdays. That's the other part, too. See, you may not hear this fast enough to actually pull the trigger on the first Saturday because, well, the first Saturday you'll be able to do is in May. Because by the time this episode drops, the first Saturday in April will be gone. That's May, June, July, August, September. That is the fastest you'll be able to do the five first Saturday devotion. That's confession within 10 days. And communion on that Saturday, a communion of reparation. Praying 5 decades of the rosary. And meditating. This is not an either or. This is you pray the rosary and you meditate for 15 minutes on one of the mysteries of the rosary. And there are indulgences that are tied to that because in all honesty, if you do that, it's a plenary indulgence. If you go to confession, you receive Holy Communion, you pray the rosary, meditate for 15 minutes on one of the mysteries, that is a plenary indulgence. That's an entire list of sins for which you owe temporal debt, wiped clean. You do that 5 times. You ask other people to do it 5 times. If we can manage to get every faithful Catholic to do this, we might actually hit that trigger point where we open up the floodgates of grace at least just enough to give the Holy Father the graces to make sure he does what he's supposed to do. Because they had a threefold mission up at the hierarchy. I wouldn't worry too much about it, you know, because the consecration of Russia may have been valid. I don't know. I don't care. But actually doing the consecration with all of the world's bishops, that's the key. In union with all the bishops of the church, we might actually be able to score sufficient graces for the Holy Father to actually go through and do what he's supposed to do, because he's also supposed to promulgate to the universal church consecration of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He's also supposed to promulgate the 5 First Saturday devotion. But we don't need him to promulgate that. We can actually do that and try to get the graces for him. And if we're going to save our country, for those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice within the borders of these United States, if we're going to save our country, we have to do it. We have to. And I will say this more. If you don't, when calamity strikes, there will be one thing that you will not be able to say to our Lord when you arrive at your particular judgment. And that thing that you won't be able to say is, quote, "But Lord, I did everything I could," close quote. So, we have a 9-month novena. We have the 5 First Saturdays. Enrolling in the brown scapular. Consecrating ourselves to Our Lady. Consecrating ourselves to our Lord. Doing everything that we can to try and score the graces. Those are the things that we need to be doing. And I'm not even actually going to close out where I normally say pray for the church and pray for the nation, because this is implied. It's implicit in everything that I've already talked about. And I will tell you that I did not need a message from heaven to come out of Texas and tell me that this is the final hour. Because if it's not the final hour for the world, regardless, it is the final hour for America. What are you going to do? That's the question. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. Happy Easter, everyone. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.